Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's a bowel problem of immense proportions. What kind of life is that, Cindy? You gotta be into it, man.
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
You bet it is.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How you doing today? Good to be with you. You relax, I'll take it from here. Don't interfere. Just leave me alone. Thank you for your many emails. I send them right to spam. Hey, it could be worse. I could send them right to delete, so don't give me trouble. I've actually changed my inbox to spam box. I have no inbox anymore. There's no box coming in. I don't understand any of this stuff. I was not born in this computer age of friendship, of likes and dislikes, and I don't know. I have no hashtags. I've got no tags hashing anything. I don't even know. I'm way too old to put little happy faces and thumbs at the end of a sentence. I'm too old for that. In kindergarten, we did that. We did that in kindergarten. We took little illustrated stupid faces and stuck them on pieces of paper. That I was five when I did that. I don't feel any obligation to like something. I don't see how that's a part of my reaction system. I don't. Well, Ron, do you like it or not? You didn't say you liked my comment. Oh God, please leave me alone. I liked your comment, but I don't like you. How about that? What's the symbol for that? I don't know whether I should swipe left, swipe right, swipe up, swipe down. I don't know where I'm swiping. I don't know what swiping is. I thought Bluetooth was a dental condition. I'm sorry, Mr. Van Dam. You have Bluetooth. Oh, no. How much is this going to cost me? Well, we have to remove the cavity first, and then we have to do an inlay, and that'll be $17,000. I got to put my kids through college somehow. All right. That's enough. That'll be quite enough. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am. Guess who I am? Yeah. I am Ron Van Dam. I'm the person to whom they refer in the nomenclature of the title today. I am your guest host. I've been your guest host for about 30 years, so that's it. I guess I have the job permanently, but I don't want to admit it. All right, here's how this works. Don't get this wrong again. You sit down or do something, and you don't say anything. I will talk incessantly for the next half an hour. Hopefully, some of the stuff that I say will be some interest of you, if I can only get the words out of my mouth properly. So that's the way it works. And if you're happy with the show, you pay me $5 million. I don't think it's a lot to ask. Is that how it works? Is that how this stuff works? I don't even know. Hashtag pay me $5 million. All right, let's get started. I don't know what the hell's going on. To be honest with you, I watch the news, and when I turn the news off, I say to myself, I don't understand what I just saw. The list of priorities is upside down. I don't know why I have to know everybody else's problems. I feel bad about some people. I feel horrible about what they go through, but I don't know why I have to take on the emotional burden of knowing about that. I am not a god as much as you may think I am. I cannot handle this burden no more. Every time I turn on Dr. Phil or the Maury Povich, do you think I really turn that on? Are you serious? I don't watch that crap. But every time I happen to pass it in a channel surf motion, I'm watching other people's extreme problems, and I'm feeling for them. And then I say to myself, wait a minute. You don't have to feel for everybody. Choose your battles, Mr. Van Dam. I speak to myself in the proper name because I believe that I do command respect for myself. I've said this before. Sometimes I just walk into convenience stores, these 24-hour convenience stores, and they're not all that convenient, believe me. I walk in there and I just go up to the counter in order to get respect. What am I talking about? The people who work in convenience stores respect me like no other, like no other. They don't even know me, but they respect me. They call me boss. They call me boss. I don't even have a share in their company, but they call me boss. They call me sir. And when I leave, they say, thank you, my friend. I don't even know your name, but I'm your friend now. And it feels good. All I did was buy a sandwich. I mean, but yet, how you doing, boss? How you doing, boss? Hello, my friend. I love the respect that I get in a convenience store. I also like the respect that I get in a supermarket. They have to chat me up because it's part of the store policy. They have to make me feel comfortable there, so I want to come back. This is the quasi-friend theory where they make me feel like I'm welcome in their store. So they strike up a small conversation with me as if they're interested. I know they're not. But I play along because it feels good, you know. And they ask me, did you find everything you were looking for? And I'm not in the mood for these philosophical conversations at that time of day. All right, yeah, I found the pancake batter, yes, but at the same time, happiness? I don't know where happiness is. I don't know where total life fulfillment is. And they look up at me and they say, oh, that's in aisle 7. I say, oh, okay, thank you. Thank you very much. It's very similar to finding Jesus. People walk around, you know, oh, I found Jesus. Where? Where? Aisle 9 next to the Cheerios. Oh, okay, thanks. That's changed my life. What, Jesus? No, the Cheerios. Do you know there's less than 1 gram of sugar in that stuff? And it's whole grain? Oh, they're very healthy. They're heart healthy. It says on the box, heart healthy. Ooh, how can I argue with what it says on the box? Cheerios. I grew up with Cheerios. Not as a roommate. I mean, I ate them as I was growing up in the process. I told you that I'm into Wonder Bread again because it builds 12 bodies 12 ways. Is that? I don't even know the slogan. It builds something. It's got something in it. It's spongy bread. It's got some kind of miracle going on. I don't know what it is, but it's the fountain of wheat youth. I don't really know. For a while when I was younger, I thought, I'll never get old because when I start getting old, I'll just go to Florida and I'll find the fountain of youth. Now, I don't know why I thought it was in Florida, but I was led to believe. I'll find this fountain somewhere, and I'll splash some of that fountain of youth water on me, and I'll be young looking, and I'll be younger. Well, haven't done that yet because I kind of, when I grew up, I realized that's a bunch of bullshit. But at a point in my life, I'll take it. I don't know, whatever. Because I started realizing as I got older that, and I've said this before many times, life is a perception. It's not what it reality. Trump taught me that reality does not exist. It's your perception of reality. Yeah, he screwed me up big time in that sense, because some of the stuff he said. See, if you say bullshit like 100% of the time, 2% must be accurate somehow. Well, not in his case. I laugh, but he wasted four years of my life. Anyway, he wasted 4 years of my life. The pandemic wasted a year of my life. You add all that up, not good, not good. Anyway, so the big talk right now, besides the royal family, of which I again, I really shouldn't or have to care, and I don't, but I guess my life is just so empty that I need to enter into this controversy. Well, the fact is, it's not that empty, and I don't need to. But it's a good, fun topic of conversation, isn't it? Takes your mind off of the other stuff. Here's something that rattled me. It rattled me, not in a horrible way or I had to seek therapy, but I guess I paid attention to it. Here's what it is. There was a toy when I was growing up called Mr. Potato Head. Ron, are you going to go there? Are you going to go there with this story? Yes, I am, because it's representative of the foundation being pulled out from under us, as long as the foundation was harmless. Here's the deal with Mr. Potato Head. Mr. Potato Head was a guy who was a potato. You would take a potato and you would stick it onto this sharp, sharp plastic thing, which, by the way, was probably dangerous. And you would put little eyes and little mouths in the potato. And it was an actual potato. It was Mr. Potato Head. Then there was a Mrs. Potato Head. Then they decided that, giving children potatoes is probably not going to help the potato famine at all. We could go out of business, so let's just make it styrofoam. And they did. So I grew up with the styrofoam version, and I was sticking little expressions into the styrofoam, and that was Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head. Somehow this is not good anymore, because we're being gender-specific. And I guess kids were taking the ears and putting them down in the crotch area. I mean, I really don't know what was going wrong with this toy. But for some reason, the people that make the Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head. By the way, if you find that offensive, most people I know, men, are potato heads. They just really are. And women... there's plenty of potato head women, believe me. It's not a gender-specific problem. The human race is a bunch of potato heads. So in essence, it's a very accurate toy. But for some reason, they found that this is too gender-specific. So now it's just potato head. So now you play with your potato head. I mean, I kind of agree, because both men and women are potato heads. So I think it's for marketing purposes, because now you don't have to make a Mr. Potato Head and a Mrs. Potato. And I don't know how you even discern the two. Does Mrs. Potato Head have boobs? Styrofoam boobs? Well, I've seen that before too, actually. If you've ever been to a strip club, you've seen these styrofoam boobs before. But it's rude to stick things into them, like ears and things. I'm getting so far off the subject matter, it's really not funny. Then there's another. It's Dr. Seuss, who's been dead for 30 years. Let's leave the poor bastard alone. Some of his books, and books, many other books, were incredibly racist. Here's the problem, kids. Here's the problem, and it's a fascinating discussion, and it's hard to have it here because I can't hear you, but I would love to have this discussion with you, actually, when I have time, and that'll never happen. We lived in such a racist society not too long ago. It was amazing. The way we depicted people that weren't white was incredible. It was incredibly insulting and incredibly amazingly somehow it happened. And then we woke up. All of a sudden we woke up fairly recently. And we said, that's disgusting. That sucks. And we're out to change it. And I see nothing wrong with that. I see nothing. What do you care? What do you care? If they took some Dr. Seuss books out of circulation, they could certainly rewrite them so that they weren't racist or had any inkling of that. But the fact is, there was a period of history for a long time where this country was a bunch of potato heads. We didn't know how to refer to people that didn't look like us. And we were demeaning and horrible. And that should all be erased, because it is indeed demeaning and horrible. But there's a segment of the population that just refuses to grow up. And that's why I say, let it go, man. Let it go. It has nothing to do with you. It doesn't change your life for the worst. It kind of makes it better. So let's stop playing games. Well, certain people politically say, stop banning things. Stop telling me what I can read and what I can't read, what I can buy and what I can't buy. And I say to you, these are companies. They can do whatever they want. Okay? These are private companies. This is the Seuss family deciding this was not good. We're going to take these books off the shelf. This is not a political decision. This was not voted on in Congress. This wasn't banned in a state or by a governor or anything like that. It was the Seuss family that said we're going to take these things off the shelf and either correct them or just take them off the shelf. That's their decision. That's what America is. They can do whatever the hell they want. The same with the Potato Head Company. If they want to remove Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head and just call them Potato Head, what the hell are you going to do about it? What the hell's difference to you? This was not a vote. This was not a write-in ballot. This is a company that said, we don't want to do this anymore. Okay, fine. Fine. I mean, stop making like everything affects you down to the bone. Stimulus checks? Yeah, you can talk about that. That affects you. It affects many people who can't eat food because they don't have money, can't pay their rent, etc., can't pay their bills. That affects them. Whether Dr. Seuss's books come off the shelf or the Potato Head Company makes it not gender specific anymore, the hell do you care? Take a Lego block and shove it up your ass and then tell me if that's invasive to you. I don't know what that meant either. I think I just wanted the visual of a Lego block being stuck in one's butt. I think I just thought I wanted to say that. I don't, has no relevance to the subject matter whatsoever. I have a very interesting guest on today's program. I always try to strive for that result. But as I say on every show, I do take a moment, because I am a thoughtful, caring person, at least I play one on the radio. How are you doing? How are you? Let's stop for a moment. Shh, stop. Shh. Don't speak. I take my finger and I place it upon your lips, and I say, shh. Don't speak. How are you? How are you actually feeling? Are you doing all right? Are you okay? Are people checking in on you to make sure that you're still sane? No, I am. Are you feeling like you still have any self-worth? Or point is, you never really had any to begin with, so it's not a loss. It's just the way it was anyway. Are you getting sick and tired of not being able to do what you did all your life, to be able to go to stupid sporting events and go to bars and drink yourself silly to the point where you have to go to the doctor and have your liver removed? Are you missing all that stuff? Are you missing acting like a jerk, you know, when you have a barbecue and wearing those silly aprons that have stupid sayings on it like world's best dad and you're not even a man? Are you missing that? Or are you okay? Are you all right? Let's say hello to our guest. There he is. It's Dr. Judson Brewer. He's an MD, a PhD, and a renowned psychiatrist, neuroscientist, associate professor at Brown University School of Public Health. And we're talking about our mental well-being. I've heard you refer to as Dr. Judd. Is that appropriate?
Perfect.
Okay, fine. Thanks for being with us today, because I do thousands of interviews and no one wants to talk about this. And here you are. You've written a very successful book about the subject. What we're all going through, we allude to the fact that our mental health is a little bit different than perhaps it was before, but we don't really talk about it. And what prompted you to do this?
Well, a number of things. One was my own anxiety. I used to get panic attacks during residency training. Mm-hmm. And I started getting anxious treating my own patients with the traditional methods, for example, with medications. I was struggling, not everybody benefits from medication. So I was getting anxious about how to help my anxious patients. And serendipitously, my lab was studying habit change and mindfulness training, and we actually found that we could pair the two. There was some research from the 80s suggesting that anxiety could be driven in a similar manner to other habits that I hadn't known about, and blew my mind. Mm-hmm. So put together an app-based mindfulness training program, studied it, and got some really significant results.
That's amazing, because I think we've all personally gone through this, especially during the beginning last year of this pandemic. And we were feeling anxious, and we thought, what's wrong with me? Because nobody else seemed to be talking about it or seemed to be that way. Am I indeed getting sick? Because anxiety physically manifests itself, and if you haven't had a lot of it before, you don't know what it is. Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. That's actually how I start the book, with a couple of case examples of anxiety, and I didn't even know about my own anxiety in college, which was leading to physical symptoms.
Well, I did some research on it, and I even requested some medication from my doctor, and I was told that, okay, but don't get hooked on this stuff. So now it's like, okay, now I can't even take that. So I was caught between a rock and a hard place mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's common. So, for example, benzodiazepines, which used to be prescribed a lot in the 70s and 80s, are no longer the first-line treatment for a number of reasons, including their addictive potential.
Yeah. Well, okay. Is anxiety the kind of thing that once you know that that's what it is, it tends to be better because you're not anxious about being anxious? Kind of like snowballs on itself.
It's a really good place to start, right? Just understanding that this is what the issue is and that there's something that we can do about it that's relatively simple and straightforward. Not always easy, but simple and straightforward is a really good place to start.
Yeah. What is anxiety exactly? Is it a body thing, or is it a mindset thing? Is it not having a foundation? What exactly is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Body and mind. So it's, you can think of the definition of anxiety as the feeling of nervousness or worry or unease about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Mm-hmm. So it not only has bodily manifestations where there's this feeling of, restlessness, of tightness, of contraction, but also there's a mental thing. Worry is both a noun and a verb. I worry. And in fact, the feeling of anxiety can drive us to worry. Yeah. That mental behavior actually feeds back. It makes us feel like we're in control because at least we're doing something, we're worrying.
Yeah.
But that actually feeds back and makes us more anxious because it doesn't control the situation or fix whatever the problem is.
Well, is there an answer to this? Is the answer different for different people? How do we approach this? because I think everybody wants to know.
Yes. Well, for some people, medications can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And for everyone, it can start with understanding how our minds work. So we all share a basic learning mechanism that was set up to actually help us survive. Ironically, it's now driving anxiety.
Yeah.
So I think of it as a three-step process. Just first understanding how our minds work. So mapping out these habit loops. And in fact, we put together a free habit map where anybody in the world can just download, you know, this PDF from, I think it's mapmyhabit.com. Uh-huh. So that's the first step, is just mapping out these habit loops. The second step is seeing, you know, is the anxiety, is the worry actually fixing the problem? Is it solving the problem? Is it keeping my family safe? Whatever. Uh-huh. And then the third step is to step out of that habit loop. And this is where practices like curiosity and kindness can help.
Yeah. Interesting. My first reaction was not to watch the news anymore. And then I found that...
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, but then I found that it wasn't the COVID. The COVID just sparked something that I probably already was feeling. Now I can't watch television commercials that have anything to do with any type of medical condition that you can die from. It's like, well, you know, I'm supposed to be feeling better about things. Now you're bombarding with things that can happen at any moment now.
Yeah, you're also highlighting how we can't avoid life.
Right.
So
yeah.
If it were as easy as avoiding all the things that triggered anxiety, great, we'd all win. But we can't avoid, you know, life.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So you're in a better place, obviously, I guess, from...
I've certainly...
Yeah.
Because I've learned a little bit about how my own mind works.
And
I've also been very, you know, happy to find some of these basic mechanisms to help my patients as well.
Interesting. Doctor, once anxiety is sparked, does that mean that this is something that you now have to deal with probably for the rest of your life? Or when conditions change, when things are back to normal, there's no more COVID, which is not going to be necessarily tomorrow, has Pandora's box already been opened?
Well, I think it was already open. So anxiety is something that's ubiquitous. Right. So it was there BC, you know, before coronavirus.
Oh, I thought you were going to say BT before Trump, because that added to me.
So, but one thing you're highlighting here is that our brains do not like uncertainty. So, for example, you know, the political situation certainly has added a layer of uncertainty over the last couple of years that we hadn't seen before. Uh-huh. And it just highlights how our brains really do not like uncertainty. But we can't avoid uncertainty. The only certain thing in life is that there will be more uncertainty.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that you can... Yeah, what was that the phrase about change? The only thing you... something about change. There will always... I don't know. Anyway. Okay, well, we can't talk forever, unfortunately, although I would like to. So we're just going to have to pick up the book here. And it's doing very well. Actually, it's just been released at the year anniversary of many people having to deal with the virus in a quarantine manner, in a change-your-life kind of manner. The book is called Unwinding Anxiety. New science shows how to break the cycles of worry and fear to heal your mind. Judson Brewer, doctor, is the author. Is there a place we can Google you or get more information?
I have a website that's just drjudd.com, drjud.com, that talks about the, you know, gives info on the book. We've got a bunch of free resources, some of the apps, like the app that I mentioned that my lab studies. People can get information on that as well.
Great. I do thousands of interviews. This is the first one where someone actually addressed the problem that everybody's having. And thank you for doing so. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow. Seriously? Yes, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time comes, I wish you peace.